You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
You know, some people enter a room and the atmosphere shifts. Not because they're loud, but because they're anchored. You know those people who are rooted, who are certain and weighty? Yeah. Our guest is one of those people. If you've ever worked in media, you've either admired her from a distance or sat across from her at a table praying your story was solid, because Lulu asks the questions that matter. Not just for ratings, not just for headlines, but because she's always had her eye locked on something deeper. And that is truth, transformation, and my favorite word in all of the world, purpose. She spent years shaping public narratives in newsrooms and in media corridors that decide which voices get heard and which ones don't. But in this next chapter of her life, she's no longer just reporting on the world. She's remaking it. She's taking all that fire, all that grace, all that journalistic precision and pouring it into work that liberates, that empowers, and heals. Work that doesn't just tell stories, but redeems them. Whether you know her from her days behind the mic, her voice on the airwaves, or her soul-stirring work today, what's clear is this. Lulu has never shown up to perform. She shows up to shift things. So tonight, we don't just welcome her back. We honor the weight that she carries, the journey she's walked, and the legacy that she's building. One truth, one pivot, one purpose-aligned step at a time. Lulu, earlier when I was talking to Bongi, I said, oh, my girl, and I think you remain that. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. I'm so honored to be back.
Lulu, I'm going to, and I hope this doesn't upset you, but I'm going to do something that we did not agree on. As I was heading into this hour of the show, I just felt a strong impression to change the direction of the conversation. I don't know. You know that I want us to talk about media and your career, but I'm just so heavily impressed to talk about something else. I hope that's not going to be a problem.
All right, let's go.
Okay. I made a dangerous prayer, and the prayer was to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And right now I'm burning and there's no heater on. So I just have to be obedient. Lulu, okay. I know you touched on this in our previous conversation, and maybe it's a different thing than the one that I'm thinking about. But what was the moment, or maybe even the mistake, that matured your voice the most? And not just as a presenter, but as a woman.
A mistake that matured my voice.
Or a moment. It doesn't even need to have been a mistake.
You know what? Let me call it a moment. Having my daughter for me was a moment. It was a shift.
Yeah.
It was unexpected. It was unlike me in terms of character. But there was 24-year-old, pregnant out of wedding. It impacted not just my personal life, but even my career.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, I was not only responsible for me, but I was also responsible for another human.
Yeah.
And it shifted how I looked at things. It also shifted how I looked at young women. I was the girl that was asked in an interview about, you know, pregnancies outside of wedlock or any pregnancies. And I was the most judgmental Christian.
Lulu.
But in that moment, God taught me humility. God taught me that I was not perfection because I thought I was.
Oh.
And he gave my purpose a different meaning.
Mm.
So that was a shift. I approached life very differently. I approached my work extremely differently too. I had a certain empathy that I had never had before.
Mm.
So that was a shift.
You know, as you're speaking, Lulu, and I don't know what happened to your sound, but it got a bit muzzled or a bit muffled. If you can just sort that out for us, please. What you're making me remember is I was asked to preach at a church in March, Women's Month, right? And it was about being a daughter of God. And I remember sharing with them that Lulu, I used to be the perfect little Christian girl, okay? Much like you, did not think I was fallible at all. And what I realized was that, I would always be asked, if you were to write a book, what would the book be titled? And I always said that the book would be titled Fathered by God. Right? And I think I should trademark it because now it's out in the airwaves. But when I was preparing that sermon, what I realized that all my life, yeah, sure, God was my father. And what I wasn't realizing is I wasn't his daughter. I was a perfect Christian. Yeah, I would do the thing. Our relationship was very transactional because I do the right thing, you do the blessing. That's just how we traded. But when I then no longer became the perfect girl, I actually realized what it meant to be a daughter of God because I was loved despite. I was welcomed despite. I was the person who's worthy despite. And so when you say what you're saying, it resonates so deeply with me because there's just something about experiencing life that makes you realize that life is actually experienced. When you're the perfect one who is above, you know, above what everybody else does, you're not experiencing life. It almost feels like you're controlling it and you control yourself and you control the narrative. So that resonates so deeply with me.
Oh, I'm glad it does.
And I know you've had many public wins, but what's one private victory, Lulu, that means more to you than anything people could clap for?
People might find this public.
Yeah.
But to me, it's still a very meaningful win.
Mm.
At no point in my life did I ever think I would be able to work with my husband.
Mm.
That in itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
We met and were two completely different people. And he was not in the public space.
Mm.
But being able to build a business with him that needed him to be a public face too, and that works without forcing, without, you know, begging. I always tell him it saved our marriage because in some cases it ends a marriage.
Yeah.
But for us, it was exactly what we needed to bring us closer and help us understand each other better.
Mm.
It was exactly what we needed for our blended family.
Yeah.
To sort of get onto a project together and have a win together and create an even better closeness.
Mm.
So that for me has been a win.
Hmm. Lulu, I'm going to cut the call a bit. I'm going to cut the call and I'll call you back in a minute. There's just some issues with the sound that I need us to sort out. Is that okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Lulu, do I have you on the line?
Yes, you do. And
totally clearly now.
Perfect. Perfect. So, yes, we were talking about platform versus mantle.
You know, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I always feel that a platform just makes you visible.
Ooh.
You know, you've created a platform, but I feel that a mantle brings meaning. Like I always feel like when you build something,
yeah,
I've never looked at it as a platform or anything else. I just always knew that when I started my platforms, and for me, I don't know if you're talking about digital, but when I look at platforms, especially I'm looking at the digital world.
Yeah.
For me, I had meaning. I had a why. I had a purpose. I always asked myself, why?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Before I post something, I ask myself, why? Is this going to either inspire, teach, or be some form of edutainment? There has to be some meaning to what I'm going to put out. And even off digital, I think just with my life in general, I've always felt from a very young age, my parents always sat me down and said, you know what? Yours will not be a normal childhood. You got on stage at the age of 4, and there's a responsibility that comes with the platform you're on. There's a responsibility that comes with the visibility you have. The visibility you have is unlike other children. But the visibility you have shouldn't give you pride. It should actually make you scared, because God has given you a certain responsibility.
Yeah.
You have to be that kid that doesn't get into trouble.
Ooh.
Because you are responsible. You are now responsible for how other children are going to act. I had this conversation with my parents at the age of 6. And they continue to reinforce this conversation with me. And it was really something that they drummed into me from a very young age, that this comes with responsibility. You need to understand why you do things, and you're here to serve. The applause is not why you're doing this.
Yeah.
You are here, it's a ministry. You're here to impact lives. So forget the applause that comes after a concert. What you should be interested in is, did I make an impact on someone's life? My dad would say, focus more on the tear that comes down as you sing than the clap that comes. So it was always about the impact. So for me, that's what it's always been from a very young age. Maybe too much responsibility for a child.
I wanted to say, do you wish they hadn't said that? Because I can imagine the pressure. And then I think forward to 24, with those words ringing in your mind.
You know what? It was good. I feel like they understood my calling. They understood that God had placed something on me.
Yeah.
That was just not for that moment. And I'm grateful for that. It's the same thing I tell my children now, because they are in the public eye. That comes with also a sense of responsibility. So I understand parts of me where I felt, well, there were parts I still could have played as a child. I could have still had the childhood, and I tried to give my children that. But then at the end of the day, it's important for parents to realize this early. Because when you don't acknowledge the gift or the purpose that God has put on your child early on, you are not being fair to the child. And not all of us are anointed the same. Some it comes much later on, but for some it comes at a later stage. But for me, it came early, and I'm grateful for that. Because fast forward to 24, this has happened, and I understand in that moment that I have a responsibility. Radio stations are talking about Lulu is pregnant. It's in a newspaper on what the biggest show that talks about what the papers say. They are talking about Lulu's pregnancy, and that's how relatives are finding out. So I had a choice to either hide or take on the responsibility of my action and acknowledge my part, acknowledge what I have learned, and also acknowledge that, well, this has become very public. Mm-hmm. And I made a choice in that moment to say, as it has been made public, others are telling my story. Mm-hmm. I will choose to tell my story.
Yeah.
But in my story, I will choose to tell it from a place of responsibility. Telling my story from a place of knowing and acknowledging that, where did I go wrong?
Mm.
And how can you learn from this?
Yeah.
And so that's where I birthed the We Keep Moving initiative.
Mm.
Because in that moment, I had to have a slogan for myself to keep me going.
Yeah.
Besides the verse, Romans 8, you know, verse 28, which says, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. I had to keep something else in my mind that was, we keep moving. Lulu, you can't stop. This cannot be the end. From a young age, you've known that God is here to use you for a purpose.
Yeah.
And it does not end here. So you need to keep moving.
And Lulu, what this has that... Just, you can continue, sorry.
No, you can go on, love.
I was saying, and what has this purpose been revealed to be? Because I'm thinking about your movements, which is We Keep Moving. And I'm wondering, had you stopped moving in that moment, who was going to get stuck there with you? When you think about the lives you've touched and the lives you've impacted, what has been the purpose for your work? And what has been that anointing that was seen by your parents as early as six?
I feel I was brought on this earth to make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, God placed me in very public spots from a very young age.
Yeah.
And I always felt that he wanted me to use my influence for social good.
Mm.
I feel that's where my purpose lies.
Mm.
To use the influence he's given me for social good.
Mm.
Do I make mistakes? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But the responsibility that comes with my purpose is that I need to acknowledge that I'm wrong when I'm wrong.
Mm. I want us to...
And I need to use... Yeah, I was just going to repeat that. Using that influence for social good.
I want us to double click on that. And earlier this morning, I was having a conversation with someone who's a social entrepreneur, right? And she was saying, Bumi, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of being a social entrepreneur. I want to also live well. I want to make money. How do you, if you were the one having the conversation with her, what would your words have been to her?
What was her why? Why did she start being a social entrepreneur? Was it because it was the easiest way to get funding?
Okay.
And then make a difference? Was that the reason behind?
Mm.
You know, how, why? The why is very important.
Mm.
And sometimes people mistake, you know, going into an honorable space like social entrepreneurship.
Mm.
You know, that all of us go in for the same why. We don't.
Yeah.
So the why is always important, and you always need to go back to it. We are called differently.
We really are.
And if her calling was not to be in that space, she would need to find the space she was called to be in. But if her calling, her why really ensured that she has to be in that space, she has to consistently remind herself the why. And when she forgets, she needs to have build a support system that remind her the why.
And what happens, Lulu, in the instance that this thing really is not, well, it is working out in the sense that it is doing what it's meant to do for people, but you're finding yourself more, and I don't want to say deprived, but more or less fortunate than you were before you were in corporate? What happens when the reality is really struggle in the name of or for the sake of the work that you are doing? Is there a correlation between purpose and struggle? Should there be? Because a lot of the times people run away even from the idea of pursuing their purpose because they don't want to be like those missionaries who are always asking for money to go to school, or they are asking for money to be sustained. So how do we reconcile the idea of being obedient to God and living your purpose and also living well? living in the wealth that was promised, the Abrahamic promise. You know, the wealth we see your Job and your Abraham and your Solomon living in. How do we marry those two worlds?
You know, I can only speak from my story.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I knew what my purpose was.
Mm.
And the beginning of that was struggle, especially when I now had to come into my own as an adult. But I had a plan.
Mm.
And I was so focused on it. Many people fell along the way who had similar plans like I did, but they just felt, this is too hard.
Mm.
Why am I in it?
Mm.
But I'm bearing fruits of my labor 20 years on. You know, 20 years on, I feel like I am bearing finally the fruit of my labor. It took time, but it's starting to bear the fruit.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a difference. It was my goal to make a difference.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a difference. And even in my media industry, I came back to Zambia from, you know, studying at Helderberg, and I said, I want to make a difference. My goal is to create something that I have not seen yet.
Yeah.
And 20 years later, I'm able to say, people are getting paid more because I put in the work. There was the struggle, but I the goal ended up being there.
Yeah.
Young women are being able to go and stand even at an event where, a state event where the president is there.
Yes.
They're able to do that and stand on their own without needing a male counterpart.
Yes.
Without needing a male counterpart, because I fought for some of these things. Those were things I was fought on, and I fought back. And I can see that difference now. So your why is important, because even when the struggle comes, if your why is indeed...
Yeah.
Rooted in real purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will stick to it.
You stand.
It wasn't easy. My daughter had to get out of school. But my support system around me that understood my why were also supportive, sometimes financially, to just help us get by. They didn't give me millions of dollars, but at least we had food on the table.
Lulu, take us behind the scenes of some of those battles and those fights. I don't think a lot of people know and therefore appreciate some of the things you had to fight through to see the thing that you weren't seeing then. And maybe even take us back to, what is the thing you weren't seeing that now, 20 years later, you finally see? What are some of those struggles? Lulu, are you still there? Okay, I think we may have lost Lulu there. I don't know what is going on tonight. Like I said earlier, I had a completely different conversation in mind. Lulu and I agreed on something completely different tonight. And I don't know, there was just a really strong conviction around changing the conversation altogether. And now here we are battling to have the conversation that God wants us to have. I see Lulu's on the line, but the sound isn't coming through. And I don't even know what that is about. You know what? So I'm going to try bring her back. I really will try bring her back to at least salvage what is left of our time together. But before I even do that, I don't know what God is doing in this season. I'm not an advocate for heaven. But I feel a very strong push from God for everybody to be in position. If you'll notice, a lot of the conversations we were having between Genesis and Leviticus was all finance, right? And then we get to Numbers, and instead of hearing numbers, we are hearing about purpose. And I'm not even sharing this with you from a point of just being a preacher with a mic. I am living this as well. Every day, even in this moment, I am being pushed. I am returning to the things that God called me to years back. I am putting up infrastructure and systems to contain the work that God has ordained for me to do. So as much as I'm talking to you, as much as I'm preaching to you, as much as I'm commissioning you and charging you, trust that everything that gets to you has gotten to me first. Trust that the message and the conviction and the fire has come to me first. If you're feeling burned, it's because I'm here burning, sharing it with you. And maybe that is why God wanted us to have a different conversation tonight, where we would have spoken about media and access to media. And God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, not tonight, not right now. And look at what is happening. How are we failing to have a conversation after having tried three times? Maybe the thing I should be asking actually is, what is it that is on you that the devil does not want you to fulfill? What about this conversation and Lulu's story and Lulu's journey are you being prevented from hearing because of what it will do for your own story? There is a shift. There is a move. And I think I'm more cognizant of this now because I know my role in this entire thing. I know why I'm still breathing today. I know why I still have this voice today and even this platform. I know why my heart still gets tender. Ooh, I know why my heart still gets tender when I hear of professionals who are not doing well in their jobs. When I read reports that share that globally only 20%, 21% of employees are engaged, and 62, if not 67, are actively disengaged. So much of 79%, I'm even going to say 80%, that is distinction at any school level. A distinct number of people in the world are walking around with their core disengaged. And if that is you, I just want to tell you that I don't even want to say you don't have time, but this is the time. Right now is your time. Somebody needs the message you are shutting up about. Somebody needs the skill that you are taking for granted because it just comes so easily for you. Somebody is crying tonight for something that you have figured out and they need the solution to. You're holding on to something that can change somebody's life. There is a need with your name on it. A silence that can only be filled by your words. A gap that can only be filled by your presence. If you're still dilly-dallying, thinking that it's business as usual, you can just get on with whatever, you couldn't be more wrong. There is need for you and your voice. There is need for you and your story. There is need for you and your skill and your gift and your talent. There is need. Hear me when I say, there is someone struggling today, suffering today, and you have the solution to their problem. Can I even suggest that perhaps the reason you are in a storm and have been in a storm for so long is because there is a call that you haven't been answering? That all along you think God is silent, but that is exactly God speaking to you about your life and why you are alive. You've been trying this and that for years on end, and God is trying to redirect you. I shared a story on my social media yesterday about how I was in blatant rebellion and disobedience against my call. And when I shared it, somebody said, "This sounds like a Jonah." Funnily enough, a day before I'd had a conversation about how my life feels or has felt like a Jonah situation, where I know where I've been sent to, but for some reason, I haven't been going there. And God is so gentle. I'm talking to the ones who've just been feeling the nudge, not the ones whose life has been turned upside down, because that does not feel like gentleness, I know. Oh, I know for sure. But to the person who's been feeling the nudge, who's been unsettled, who's been a bit rattled, who knows that something is happening but can't quite put a name to that thing, you are being called. If for some reason your life no longer satisfies you, and I'm not talking about you having suicide ideations or you no longer enjoying things because you don't have money, that's not what I'm talking about. But if for some reason your life right now doesn't seem like a kind of life you want to be living forever, there's a message behind that. There is a message behind that. And this only applies to people who have been feeling the thing I'm talking about. And if that's not you, well done. You're probably on the right track. Or maybe you're so far gone that you're no longer even sensitive to the Holy Spirit, for which I would ask that you pray and ask God to reactivate it and reignite it in you. But to those who know what I'm talking about, because they've been feeling restless and unsettled, to those who know what I'm talking about because for the longest time they've been feeling like they need to move and shift or do something different with their lives and their careers, I need you to know that you are being called. And I was sharing with somebody yesterday or 2 days back that obedience is always time sensitive. Obedience is always time sensitive. When God says move and you choose to chill, when God says move and you choose to chill, you will burn in Sodom and Gomorrah, or you'll drown in the flood when God decides to send it. And even when you do decide to say yes, you can't say yes on your own terms and do God's things on your own terms. When Noah was instructed to build the ark, it was build an ark, I'm going to send a flood, something he'd never seen before. And maybe what you're being called to do looks like nothing you've seen before. I remember when I first came out and said I'm a purpose alignment strategist, people were like, "No, we're used to consultants and coaches. What is this thing you're talking about? We've never heard it before." And I'm saying the reason you haven't is because I hadn't taken up the position. But the truth is, there's always been a gap, even before I realized. But God already knew that Nompumelelo would get to a point where she's aware and conscious of what needs to happen and trust that she will do it. You're not here by mistake, and I know this is a cliche. You're not here because of two people who just decided to do the hanky-panky. That is not why you're here. Otherwise, if that was the reason, then none of this would matter. You wouldn't be feeling what you're feeling. Your breath could have been snuffed out long ago if there was no reason for you being here. Going back to the story of Noah, even with God saying, build an ark because I'm going to send a flood, there was description, specific instruction. Use this material. Put the thing like this. It should be this long and this high. Everything was according to God's prescription. It was distinct and specific. If you're going to say yes, you can't say yes and want to do your own thing. You will drown in the flood. You and the people you were meant to help. Imagine that. Imagine what that would look like when you were supposed to be saved. Like Noah's family, you end up drowning because you just wanted to do God's thing your way, or not even at all. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm shouting, but I told you earlier my whole body was burning, and whenever I feel that sensation, I know that I have to open my mouth. I know that there's something you need to hear. This entire thing has been interrupted. Lulu came here for a specific reason. We're not even able to have the conversation because the systems just don't allow us to. This is something that was scheduled so long ago. And God just came in and interrupted all of it for you. For you. If the sound of my voice irritates you, please just hear what I'm saying at the very least. If there was somebody today who said something to you to negate what I'm saying right now, please forgive that person. If you've been praying to God, asking for a sign, or wondering what is going on is that you are being called and you need to answer the call. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. If you already know what you need to do, please get on and do it. The gift you have, God could have given to somebody else. Your intellect could have been given to somebody else. Your knowledge could have been afforded to somebody else. The relationships you have could have been gifted to somebody else. Your heart towards the certain things that you care about, that could have been channeled to somebody else, but it was given to you. You have that insight. You have that tenderness. You have that disposition. You have those abilities. And it's not because you're special. Well, you are, but that's not why you have those things. It's because you have been marked for a certain work. And you have to do that work. Not only because people are waiting, but because you will wait forever. You will wait forever wondering why you were even here. You will wait forever not having lived because you just settled for surviving. Or you just settled for breathing when God had completely different plans for your life. I urge you, if you know what it is, pull up your boots, wear that bomber jacket, or wear that makaraba, whatever it is, get to work. And if you don't know what it is, pray that God reveals it to you. Because this is the time. And the sad thing is that once you hear something, you can't unhear it. Once you know something, you can't unknow it. Right now, your burden is that you know that you are being called. Now answer the call. We struggled with Lulu because maybe the call wasn't for her anyway. It was for you. Answer the call. I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, and I hope you've just made sense of what's been happening in your life.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.